We are so happy to be with you again this Sunday morning, as we are each Sunday morning at the same time, and we hope that you have your Bibles in front of you, and if you do, will you please turn with us now, if you will, to John chapter 20. John chapter 20, if you will. While you're turning there, let me remind you, if I may, in the Gospel of John, that the word repent is never found in the Gospel of John. It's the greatest chapter or the greatest book ever written on salvation. And I think if everyone, even preachers included, could learn to teach the salvation message as it was given in the Bible, simple and clear in its simplicity, simply believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, accept Him as your payment for sin, plus nothing, not anything else. That's it. No matter how you cut it or slice it, it's believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Now, we might say this concerning the word repent. First of all, you cannot believe on the Lord Jesus Christ unless you have changed your mind, and that's exactly what the word repent means when it is used in connection with salvation. Now, if you have your Bibles open to John chapter 20, we'll discover a verse over here that's used many times to show something falsely, and we'll point that out in just a second. But we'd like for you to look now here, if you will, in John chapter 20. Begin to look here, if you will, in verse 21. Then said Jesus to them again, "Peace be unto you, as my Father hath sent me, even so send I you." And then in verse 22, "And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said unto them, Receive ye the Holy Ghost." And then it goes on down to say in verse 23, "Whosoever sins that you remit, they are remitted unto them, and whosoever sins that you retain, they are retained." First of all, emphasizing on verse 22, if I may, there are many of those that say that the fulfillment of the promise of the Holy Spirit and Pentecost was the baptism of the power of the Holy Spirit. Other words, let me rephrase it, if I may, that this is the fulfillment of the promise of the Holy Spirit here, but the power of the Holy Spirit was given on Pentecost. Now, let me take just a second. Maybe some of you don't understand what we're talking about, but in the theological realm, there are some who support that and say, yes, the Holy Spirit was given here, but the real power came at Pentecost. Let me say this, if I may. Whenever God gave the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament or there, we find out it always was for power. It came upon David for power. It came upon Saul for power. It came upon Samuel for power. And we find out here that the Holy Spirit, when God gave it unto the disciples here, it was for power. When, of course, he gave it on the day of Pentecost, it also was for power. But it's ridiculous to say that this is the fulfillment of the promise of the Holy Spirit coming. It is not. It's just another manifestation of Christ giving the Holy Spirit there unto those for power. But the promise of it was fulfilled at Pentecost. Now, the reason for that is, and the proof of that is found in Luke chapter 24, if you will. Turn over there with me in verse 49. Now, in Luke chapter 24, verse 49, this was spoken after this word was given here, after the scriptures given here in John 21, and after the Holy Spirit had been promised. All right, and yet this is the promise here in Luke chapter 24, if you will, notice here with me in verse 49. "And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high." Now, we find out the giving of the Holy Spirit on Pentecost was promised after the giving of the Holy Spirit here when he breathed on them and they received the Holy Spirit. There were many up until that time that received the Holy Spirit for power. When God sent those men out, he gave them power by indwelling them with the Holy Spirit. But one must remember that the indwelling of the Holy Spirit was only temporary. It came upon men and left men until the day of Pentecost. Then it permanently, therefore, indwelt the church, every born-again believer, from the day of Pentecost. That was the birthday of the universal church, whether there's Jew or Greek, but we're all one in Christ Jesus. And that fulfilled also what Paul was speaking about in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13, "For by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body." That body took place and began on the day of Pentecost. Now, we're going to come on down and notice here in verse 30 and 31, we find out what the Lord said, "And many other signs truly did Jesus do in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name." If you come on over now to John chapter 21, look here in verse 25, if you will. And yet there are also many other things which Jesus did, the which, if they should be written, everyone, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written. Other words, God has by his hand and his power, his omniscience, his omnipotence, he has preserved in the Bible right here the things that he wants you and I to know. If everything would be written, the world and the libraries and the world itself could not contain the books that should be written. But God has selected and breathed into the men, upon the men, by the power of God, and told them exactly what to say, exactly what to write, and God had therefore preserved this in his holy word, and you have it today. But there are many things that could have been said that are not, because you wouldn't have time to read them all if they were here and record them. But God has put the things essential for you to know that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He died for you. He gave his life for you. And it's God's will that no one should perish, but all should come to a repentance or a change of mind and put their faith in Christ. Now we go a step further and come on to chapter 21 now. A very interesting chapter here, because the whole chapter portrays and is covering the fact of how the Lord Jesus Christ is dealing with the Apostle Peter. Now, Peter's life was that filled with sort of ups and downs. He was up one day and he was down the next. He was a coward one day and a fighter the next. And yet you wonder, how in the world could God use a man like this man? But he can. Peter, I suppose, represents each and every one of us. He represents me. He represents you. And I think sometimes, you know, I see this, and honestly, I'm going to say it. You know, I think sometimes even pastors put on this kind of false image, you know, that they're just on this pedestal and they never do anything wrong. I really believe that. At least that's the image I had and still do in some cases. And yet, I believe that we need to be realistic. I think we need to understand that each and every one of us, just like Peter, are not on the mountaintop 24 hours a day and 7 days a week and 52 weeks out of the year. Now, we study old Peter here, and this old guy, he would fight for the Lord one day, and the next day, he would stand there warming his hands with the enemy. And you wonder, how in the world could this man do it? But I wonder sometimes, you know, how in the world God could use a man like him and continue to use him after the things that he had done. But I think it shows the manifold grace of God and how wonderful the Lord is to forgive us, how wonderful the Lord is to use us even after we've let him down. He's still willing to use you. Now, you might be one out there today that maybe you've let the Lord down. Maybe you haven't been serving the Lord, but he still wants to deal with you and use you the best he can if you'll listen to him. Now, let's go up here, if you will, and find out here. Now, this is after the resurrection here, and begin to look at the scene here. Now, let's begin in verse 1, if you will. After these things, Jesus showed himself again in the again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. That's the Sea of Galilee. The Old Testament word is Chinneroth, which means heart-shaped, and that's the shape of the Sea of Galilee. And on this wise showed himself. There were together Simon Peter and Thomas, called Didymus, means twin, Nathanael of Cana of Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and two other of his disciples. Now in verse 3, we find out here, here's Peter again in a backslidden condition. We find out here that Simon Peter saith unto them, I go fishing. And they said unto him, we also go with thee. Now, I'd like to make a point, if I may, here. This whole scene, when Christ appears on the Sea of Galilee, yet old Peter, he didn't pay any attention, you know. And we find out here that Peter, when we find this verse here in verse 3, said unto them, I go fishing. Now, Peter, you should have remembered that clear back in your early life, when you met the Lord Jesus Christ some 3 years ago, that you gave up your boat and your nets. Didn't you make a commitment unto the Lord, Peter? Didn't you tell the Lord, I'm going to forsake all, and I'm not going fishing anymore? Let the other boys go fishing. I'm going to attend to the Lord's business, and I'm going to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Didn't you say that, Peter? Well, of course you did. We find out here Peter says, I go fishing. Poor old Peter, still going back to the old habits he had, putting the carnal things instead of the spiritual things, and he did. Here he goes. But another interesting thing about Peter is this. Peter influenced the rest of the crowd to go with him. That's the sad situation. Now, let me say this to you that are listening, you moms and dads, if I may. You know what? You may decide to go fishing on Sunday. You know that? And you know what? You're going to take your whole family there. You're going to influence your whole family for the Lord Jesus Christ or against him. I remember someone, this has been some time back, said I invited them to church, and they said, well, if I can get my husband up, we're going to come. And you know, I got to think, isn't that a sad, pathetic old situation? Here, the husband ought to be getting the wife up. The husband ought to be getting the family up. He ought to be helping with the children. He ought to be getting things ready. He's the leader of the home, and he's going to influence that home to serve the Lord Jesus Christ or to turn away from Christ. Undoubtedly, the majority of the time, not all the time now, but the majority of the time, the family will go the way of the husband. They will be influenced. How many Christian women have went to church and then went to church, got so discouraged because they say, like, the old man lays in bed, you know, and he lays in there and he's going to sleep, you know, been out half the night and he's going to sleep it off in the morning. Well, boy, I tell you, old Peter should have remembered. He should have remembered his commitment unto the Lord. Now he's taken some other people backsliding with him. You know, talk about remembering. I probably shouldn't tell this, but I will anyway, I guess. Some years ago, we have three boys, three children that the Lord's blessed us with, and when our first boy came along and my wife was carrying him, all during the pregnancy, she craved strawberries. Strawberries. I stuffed my freezer full of strawberries. Every time I went by a strawberry patch, I picked strawberries. I was so sick of strawberries, I couldn't see straight. Well, 2 years later, we had another boy, and sure enough, in 9 months of strawberries again. Here we went through the same thing again. Strawberries, just crave strawberries. Well, 2 years later, we had a third son. That was the last of our sons, but that was the third one. Sure enough, 9 months strawberries. Strawberries, every time she was carrying one of our children, she just craved strawberries. I had strawberries. You couldn't find anything in the icebox or the freezer, but strawberries, that's all there was, strawberries. Give her strawberries. Well, lo and behold, just this last week, and I probably shouldn't tell this, but I will, last week, I went to bed real early. I remember 10 o'clock, something like that. Got up at 5 o'clock in the morning. Well, anyway, my wife wasn't too excited about that. And anyway, I thought, you know, it's ridiculous me being up and her still sleeping. What I'll do, I'll just shut the bedroom door, and I'll make a little noise out in the living room or that, and the suspense will get her, and she'll get up. And then I won't have to get in trouble doing it. Sure enough, I shut the bedroom door, and it wasn't 10 minutes. Here she come, wanted to know what the noise was out there, and her curiosity just about killed her. So I told her, I said, Marge, you know what? I said, we haven't done this for a long, long, long time, and it has been a long time. I said, how about let's go out and eat breakfast early this morning? So sure enough, I talked her into it, and we went out, and we're sitting in the restaurant at 7:30 in the morning. Now, we very seldom ever do that, but we did this morning. Anyway, I talked her into it. So we're sitting out there in the restaurant at 7:30 in the morning. A waitress comes, and I said, ma'am, I'd like to have some bacon and eggs and some hash browns. And you won't believe this. You will not believe this. I couldn't believe it. And I thought she was going to order just an ordinary pancakes or eggs or something. And you won't believe it. She ordered a big bowl of strawberries. Now, I don't know about you, but I had three flashbacks like you wouldn't believe. I didn't say anything at all. But I'll tell you this. I remembered 22, 24, 26 years ago, I remembered some things about strawberries. Well, I know this. Old Peter should have remembered some things about fishing. He had given up fishing, and his memory went sour on him, and he should have remembered. Well, we get back to the serious point of this. Peter not only went backsliding himself, Peter also took a whole bunch of people with him when he went. The practical lesson is simply this, and it is so true. Do you know in your Christian life, whether you're a husband, a wife, or a teenager, or who you are, there are people watching you. You're going to influence somebody for the Lord Jesus or somebody against him. And you know that? The saying is true, misery loves company, and you're going to take somebody with you wherever you go. Now, let's go on down, if you will, here. Now, let's go down to verse 4. But when the morning was come, now Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. You know, they went fishing at night, in verse 3, it tells us here, and they caught nothing. And it illustrates to us they were walking without light. When they were walking without light, we find out in verse 4 here, when Jesus came to them, disciples knew it not that it was Jesus. And we find out here, when you're walking in darkness, the spiritual vision of your life is dim. The spiritual vision that you could have and things you could do for the Lord Jesus Christ and bring happiness to your life is so dimmed by walking in the darkness that you're blinded to the good things of life. You really are. Many Christians are that way. Now let's go on down to verse 5. Then Jesus saith unto them, children, have you any meat? And they answered him and said, no. And then in verse 6 it's interesting. And he said unto them, he said, cast your net on the right side of the ship, and you shall find. And they cast therein, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of the fishes. You know, I often wonder if I'd been there to have seen Peter. You old fisherman, you feast all your life, and you was too dumb to throw the net on the right side of the boat. Now, I've had this happen. I haven't had it happen for a while, but I used to. And you could go with guys and go out in a boat, and I've never had much luck fishing from a boat myself. I love to fish, but I've just never had much luck. And I can go out in a boat with somebody, and they can throw a cork out on one side, and practically the fish take the cork, and I can fish all day on the other side of the boat and can't catch a thing. And I use the same kind of bait, and some of you listening, maybe you're fishermen too, and you've done exactly the same thing. You can throw in two lines, he'll get a bite and you won't. You'll sit there all day, and you'll wonder what the trouble is. Well, I often wondered, oh, Peter, you should have known you're fishing on the wrong side of the boat. You've fished that Sea of Galilee for years. You should have known where the fish are at. But I think the Lord just put a curse upon him. He couldn't catch a fish. I don't care what kind of bait he used, because he was doing the wrong thing at the wrong time and had his priorities wrong. He was fishing for fish when he ought to have been fishing for men. And you know what? There are some of you listening that have put every pleasure you got in front of the Lord Jesus Christ. You wouldn't think of taking an hour out and going to church on Sunday morning where you're going to get blessed spiritually and where God, it just seems like on your life since you've quit going to church, since you've quit serving the Lord, since you've quit reading the Bible, the harder you try and everything you do turns sour. And yet, if you'll remember back when you were serving the Lord, look how many things that God blessed you with and what a peace you had in your family, what a peace you had in your life. But now you decided you're going to go fishing and you're going to go fishing for pleasure and you've left the Lord out, and look at the things that have went bad in your life since you've decided to do that. Maybe the Lord has put a curse upon you because you put a curse upon him by refusing to come to his house, refusing to read about what he has to say, and refusing to tell anybody else that you're a born-again believer. And you could be like old Peter, a born-again believer. Yes, you're going to heaven, but you're in a backslidden condition. You've been fishing for the last few years, but you've been fishing for the wrong thing. You've been going to the wrong places. You've been walking at night in the darkness when you should have been walking in the daytime. And yet, just like old Peter, you couldn't remember the good things in your life when you walked with the Lord like Peter did when he said, "Take this ship, you can have it." And he left his nets and he left his ship and he followed the Lord, and then he had the blessings of the Lord upon him. Well, I'll tell you this, when I sat in a restaurant that morning, it was just this week. Well, I'll tell you this, it didn't take much to remember what took place when my wife craved strawberries, I'll sure tell you that, because we have three sons and she craved all three of them. In fact, I'm surprised we didn't give birth to a strawberry instead of a son. I'm just kidding, of course, and I hope she's not listening to the broadcast this morning, but I'll tell you this, it sure brings back memories. It sure does. And do you know this morning, you ought to sort of recapitulate a second and trace back in your life some of the memories of the blessings that you had when you were serving the Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe your marriage is on the rocks. Maybe you can't get along with your children. Maybe it seems like you get up in the morning and you can't wait to get the kids off to school because all you do is fuss and fight. Maybe the real problem is with you, not everybody else. And maybe since you've forsaken the Lord has taken his blessings off of you, and maybe you're in that kind of condition, and maybe God wants you to start fishing for souls for his sake and let some of the fishing for pleasure go and bring some of the happiness in your life. And God says, if you'll put me first, I'll put you first in your life, and I'll give you the desires of your heart. But you know, the sad mistake with so many people is when God says, I'll give you the desires of your heart, you try to go ahead and get them without the Lord, where God says, if you'll put me first, I'll give them to you. I love to give them to you. And I have pleasure in the prosperity of my saints. And God loves you, and maybe things aren't going right, and maybe you're not catching anything. Maybe things aren't happening in your life because the Lord Jesus Christ wants you to remember the good things you could have when you were walking hand in hand with the Lord Jesus Christ. This whole scene here, as we begin to develop it and continue on into it next week, is the Lord Jesus Christ dealing so tenderly with Peter, and yet so kind to him. And even in the backslidden condition that he's in, we come on down, we're going to find out where he said, come and dine, Peter. He said, have you got any meat? I want to feed you. And how tender the Lord is even to give us things when we don't deserve it and we've left him out. And even the goodness of God sometimes can lead us to repentance or a change of mind. And maybe God has even blessed you, even in your backslidden condition, to try to get you to remember that He wants you to put Him first so He can put you first with the blessings He has for you. Well, I don't know about you, but I'll tell you this. I'd hate to face this life and go through it, fishing for everything I could get out of it, and leave the Lord Jesus Christ out. I'm telling you, if you want to put a curse upon you, and you want to wrestle with this world, you go ahead and do it. But I'll tell you, when it's done with you, you'll be a mess. You really won't have much when you're all through, and you have went through it without the peace of God that passeth all understanding. Well, I hope this morning, and we'll continue on. We didn't really get too far this morning, but we can sure get some practical applications out of here, because Peter was in a backslidden condition. He was fishing for pleasure when he should have been fishing for men. And I hope that you'll get the point this morning. Maybe you're using all of your time and you're fishing for a lot of things that leave the Lord Jesus Christ out. And I hope that you'll retrace and look back on the time when you was serving the Lord, the good things that happened to you. And maybe the Lord's trying to talk to you and get you to come back to Him so He can bless you like He did once. Peter, He dealt with Peter in kindness, and He tried to get Peter to remember the good things that happened to him some 3 years ago. And maybe the Lord's trying to remind you of the good things you could have if you'll put the Lord Jesus Christ first. I hope you'll think about it. I hope that you'll consider turning back to Christ, because, friend, that's the only place you'll find peace in your life and the blessings of Almighty God upon you. Well, I see our time's gone. We would like to just remind you that it's been a privilege to be with you this half hour. We appreciate so much the letters that we get, and we would encourage you to take just a minute and to sit down and write us. Maybe you have a question on the Bible, or you have a prayer request, or whatever it might be. We would be so happy to hear from you, and we pray that you'll take time to do that, to sit down and write us. It's an encouragement to us to let us know that you've been listening. Well, it's been so good to be with you. Until next week, may the truth of God's Word keep marching on.